Okay. Yeah, normally I ask you to turn to one particular passage of Scripture and we pick it apart, but today I'm going to look at several. So I've at least included the reference in your notes. So if you want to flip to them quick, you can, or look them up later. But I want to do a whirlwind tour through several passages today, looking at the idea of rest, but I also want to tie it to the idea of mourning. We're in a season of mourning as a nation. We've lost a lot of things, and a lot of things have changed. And so I want to look at this very biblical concept of rest, but also the biblical concept of mourning as well. You know, I'm talking more like corporate mourning, the kinds of things that we're mourning together. But our sister Angel had a very good friend of hers pass away yesterday, so she's mourning a very real and personal loss just yesterday. And I don't know if we realize it or not right now this year, but we've lost so many things. We've lost jobs, we've lost loved ones, we've lost a sense of normalcy, we've lost a sense of security. And what we're beginning to notice is that these losses that we're feeling are beginning to kind of mount up on us, and it's beginning to affect the way we think and behave. And so I'm going to allude to that a little bit later on in my message today. If you do a biblical search, if you do a word search for the word mourn or mourning, and again, it kind of depends on which translation you're using, but the word mourn or mourning comes up in Scripture about 185 times. And if you really begin to look at this idea of mourning in the Old Testament, we realize that mourning was a much bigger deal than the way we see it or perceive it today. Like in our Western culture, we really try to minimize mourning, whereas in the Hebrew culture, mourning was a big deal. In the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5, verse 4, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." So there is a blessing that comes with mourning. And that's almost a little counterintuitive. When we think about the concept of mourning, we don't necessarily think about it as being a blessing. But Jesus says that there is a blessing. There is a blessing that will come to us. And a part of that is simply that we get comfort directly from Jesus. Part of that blessing is the Lord himself will come and he will bring comfort to us. I think one of the ways that we can mourn, as we begin to look at this idea of mourning and rest together, one of the ways that we can mourn is through good rest. Because you actually can't mourn if you don't rest. And there is a temptation, there's something about us in human nature that when we are suffering a loss, we tend to just press through it and try to keep real busy because it kind of numbs the pain, but then the pain will just come up, it'll come back on us sometime later. So there is this very biblical sense of we need to rest and we need to mourn, and that's what I want to look at today. So all the way back in Exodus 20, when God gives us the Ten Commandments, he gives us the commandment to rest. Exodus 20, verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your menservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." We have not one plane, but two planes flying overhead now. And I have a spider crawling on my notes. These are the beauties of meeting outside for church. But the Lord ties this command to rest to the fact that he created the earth in 6 days and then he rested on the seventh day. Now, we can't miss this. It's not like the Lord was tired and needed to rest on the seventh day. He rested on the seventh day to set an example for us. And he rested on the seventh day so that he could look back at what he created and then pronounce it blessed and good. He took in the beauty of his own creation on that seventh day. But did you notice here it also says that he blessed the Sabbath and made it holy? I think we lose sight of that in our fast-paced Western culture. Sunday kind of just becomes a regular day. Maybe we go to church, maybe we don't, but then the rest of the day we probably just run around and do a lot of stuff that we didn't get done during the week. But it says here in Exodus 20:11, that he blessed the Sabbath day. Do you see that? He put a blessing on the day of the Sabbath. So in other words, if we take the time to rest and come under his command to rest in Sabbath, we receive blessing. There is a blessing on this day. And if we rush past that, if we rush past a Sabbath, if we rush past a day of rest, we lose the blessing. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, I feel better about myself. But there is a blessing that comes in resting, and then it says that he makes the day holy. In other words, he makes the day sacred. So again, when we take the time to honor the Sabbath, to come under his command to rest, we not only get the blessing, we get the sacredness of the day. And then I tell you what, if you honor the Sabbath and receive his blessing and that sacred holiness on the day, think about how much better your week is going to be. There you go. All right, Kelly got us an amen. Kelly, I'm going to turn you up so we can hear you. Then in Exodus 34, I was in Exodus 20. You move forward a little bit into Exodus 34, verse 21. It says, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. Now, we're not an agricultural society, so we lose sight of this. But I grew up in a family that had a lot of people farming, and I have a degree in horticulture. I get this. There is a narrow window when you can plant. When the temperature is right and the soil moisture is just right, there's a narrow window. And the same with harvest. When the crop is just ready and all the weather conditions are perfect, you know, here in this area, if you go out for a drive in the country in the fall, you will see combines in the field in the middle of the night because they got to get it in. But here in Exodus 34:21, this is after they have fallen with the golden calf and God is re-giving them the Ten Commandments. He reminds them of this command to rest and says, rest even during the plowing and harvesting season. Do you realize how difficult and challenging that would be? You might have a beautiful, glorious day like this and you got to get that crop harvested today because maybe it's going to rain tomorrow and God says, no rest. There is this temptation to work nonstop when the conditions are optimal. I think today it might be easier for us to understand this by thinking of a tax accountant telling him to rest on April 14th. Then it also says that your sons and daughters are to rest, and even the servants and aliens living within you, so that you couldn't pass the buck and make someone else do the work. This was to be a societal rest, something that we've really lost in our day, but it's a societal rest so that, again, the blessings and the sacredness of God can come and fall on that day. Rest was even a big deal for the land. Leviticus 25 says this, while Moses was on Mount Sinai, the Lord said to him, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you have entered the land I am giving you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath rest before the Lord every seventh year. 6 years you may plant your fields and prune your vineyards and harvest your crops. But during the seventh year, your land must have a Sabbath year of complete rest. It is the Lord's Sabbath. Do not plant your fields or prune your vineyards during that year. And don't store away the crops that grow on their own or gather the grapes from your unpruned vines. The land must have a year of complete rest, but you may eat whatever the land produces on its own during its Sabbath. This applies to your male and female servants, your hired workers, and the temporary residents who live with you. Your livestock and the wild animals in your land will also be allowed to eat what the land produces. So every 7 years, the land and the animals were to have rest. They could only gather what grew naturally on its own. And they could not harvest, and they could not store away in the barns. Do you get the idea that rest is tied to faith and trust?
Yes.
And now think about this. If by consequence you could not work your land for a full year, that meant you got the year off too. That means you got a whole year of rest. All you had to do was go out and gather enough to eat that day. In Leviticus 26, God speaks of bringing judgment on the people and on the land because they didn't obey the command to rest. So as we continue to look at this thread of rest from the time God gives the command in the Ten Commandments through the Old Testament, them not resting even led to the judgment of God on the people. Do you get the idea that rest is a big deal to God? Now, there are also other days of rest throughout the year. In Leviticus 22:23, the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly, commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present an offering made to the Lord by fire." So on the seventh day of each month, they have what's called the Feast of Trumpets. And it included a sacred day and a day of rest. The Passover feast included a day of rest. The Feast of Weeks included a day of rest. The Day of Atonement included a day of rest. The Feast of Tabernacles included 2 days of rest. And the Year of Jubilee, every 49 years, included a whole year of rest. And all of these days of rest were meant to honor the Lord also with special offerings. And all of these days of rest are on top of the weekly Sabbath. They rested a lot, didn't they? All of it commanded by God. Do you begin to wonder if maybe a little bit of what's wrong with our society is we don't rest enough? Now, I know what you might be thinking. I'm sure I'm not the only type A one in the crowd.
You are going on vacation.
I am. I always preach on rest right before I go on vacation. That way we don't get any pushback on that. But I know what you might be thinking. How can this be? How can they do all of this resting? How can they have all of these days of rest and a year of rest every 7 years and every 49 years and 2 days rest here and a day of rest here and a Sabbath? How do they get anything done? How do they not starve to death? Wait, God's got this. Leviticus 25. 18 and 20. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. The land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. You know, see, when God asks something from us, he makes a way. When he asks the people to rest themselves in the land for 1 year, he makes a way for that to happen, which is a really huge promise. And I'm pretty sure it's still the same God we serve today. So here's the point that I want to make with this. This idea of rest is tied to the idea of trust and faith. We must trust God to take care of things while we're resting. After all, the command to rest came from God. He's not going to tell us to rest and then let us starve to death while we're doing it. From God's perspective, this is all about care. The Lord created us, and he knows the limitations of our bodies better than we do. We need rest just for rest's sake. In the rest is the care of God. He's telling us to rest because he cares for us. And he created us. Also in the command to rest is the command to honor God. All of these rests, all of these things I've talked about, whether it was the Sabbath or the special days of rest, they all come with a command to also offer a sacrifice to the Lord. This idea of resting and sacrificing is tied to honoring God, putting our attention and our hearts and our focus back on God. So God wasn't just telling us to rest because he knew that our physical bodies needed it. He knew that our spiritual being needed it. Our spiritual being needs that time to reconnect with him. And so we rest and we make the sacrifice, we make the offering to reconnect our spiritual selves back to God. And again, we sometimes lose sight of that. Maybe we rest a little bit on a Sunday, but do we make the spiritual sacrifice offering? And then second thing, and this is what I really want us to notice here, all of these special days of rest that I talked about involved what was called a sacred assembly. This puts us back in community. Being in community was a big part of rest. Old Testament rest was always corporate rest. When we think about rest today, we think about just going home, laying on the couch, and taking a nap by ourselves. Biblical rest was resting together as community. Isn't that interesting? We've almost completely lost sight of this idea of resting together with others. So this rest that he's talking about biblically is so much more than just sleep, taking a nap or something like that. The closest way that I can give you a picture of this in our day would be Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a day that we set aside, we rest, we feast, and we gather together in community. We gather with our family or our friends or our church, and we have a whole day of just resting and eating. Right? Now, take that idea of Thanksgiving and do it 7 times throughout the year. That's the biblical model. Wouldn't that be awesome to have 7 Thanksgiving days in 1 year? I mean, sign me up for that. We got to rotate the people who do the cooking, yeah. Rest is also tied to the concept of atonement. Leviticus 16:29 says this, "This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or an alien living among you, because on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of rest, and you must deny yourself. It is a lasting ordinance." Now, the deny yourself there refers to fasting. So this was a day of fasting and rest. But tied to atonement, on this particular day, you would be made clean of your sins. Now, of course, that's Old Testament. Jesus makes us clean of our sins, but we still have a day of rest. We still have a Sabbath to acknowledge that it was Jesus that made us clean from our sins. And then in the New Testament, we see Jesus as our ultimate source of rest. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now that's a whole message right there, and I'm not going to give it to you today. But Jesus is our source of rest. It is in him that we find our rest. As we take upon ourselves the yoke of Jesus, this is deep rest. He calls it, this is rest for our souls. Who needs rest for their soul right now? Anyone weary? So I want to wrap up today by asking a few corporate questions. These are questions that we can all ask of ourselves on this idea of rest. In light of the world that we live in right now, with all of its difficulties, struggles, and tensions, how are you doing at resting? Has the stress or anxiety of our world prevented you from resting well? Some of you may need to insert groan there. Do we have trust and faith issues? Do we have a hard time resting because we don't trust God to provide while we rest? is our identity too caught up in what we do, therefore making it hard to rest? I can't rest because what I do is who I am. So when I'm not doing what I do, then I don't know who I am and I can't rest. Do we fail to see God's overwhelming care in rest? When God tells us to rest, that's his care for us. Do we fail to see the blessings on rest? Remember, he pronounced a blessing over the Sabbath. Have we lost sight of that? That if I simply be still and rest, I will receive blessing. Then this summer, as we head into our typical season of rest, we Americans, we tend to lump all of our rest into June, July, August. Work like maniacs for 9 months and then rest in 3 months, right? So as we head into our season of rest, I would suggest that we also mourn the losses that we have experienced so far this year. From a place of rest, make a list of what you are grieving. Make a list of the things that you have lost this year. And you can, it's okay to include things like normalcy. We love to have routine. And when our routine is gone, that can be a loss. We can grieve and mourn. So make, from a place of rest, make a list of what you've lost and what you're grieving. And then again, from that same place of rest, invite Jesus into those things and mourn with Jesus. Because remember, blessed are those who mourn. Receive the blessing of Jesus in the mourning. And then I would love, as this summer goes on and hopefully coronavirus continues to get better. Hey, good news, Illinois had the best improvement in coronavirus for the last 30 days. Not very often Illinois makes the number one in anything, but we improved. So,
anything positive, you mean.
Right. So maybe as the summer goes on, I would love for us to plan and to visualize what would it look like for us as a congregation to take some times of corporate rest in mourning, where we come together with no agenda but to rest as a people and to mourn together. Because you know what? Creativity and vision flow out of rest. And so if we come together as the people of God, as a church, and we mourn and we rest together under that blessing, then he will flow through us creativity and vision for what he is calling us to be as a congregation. Amen? All right. Worship team, I know you're not used to me preaching that short, but these people are in the sun. We got to give them a break.
I chose a song, Goodness of God. It has